As a millennial, it's really common for you to want the financial security doing what you love. The problem is, you need to know where and how to find it. This can be frustrating, and it often makes you feel like a loser.
In Finding Mojo, we will help the millennials to get started in their journey to contented life by building the networks of life and at the same time benefiting the people around them. Welcome to Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Mojo. Well, of course, this is the podcast that brought to you by your friends from BSA Solutions Incorporated. My name is Nico. Together with me is Zana. It's a beautiful day here in the Philippines, and we are honored to have a special guest to join us talking about self-understanding in more detail. But before that, let's give you a little backgrounder about our guest. He's been living in the Philippines for 2 years now. He runs his own consultancy firm and works closely with individuals from companies in Australia, in Cambodia, and also here in the country. So everyone, without much further ado, let's bring in Phil Piner. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Nico. Hi, Zana. Good to be here this morning. This afternoon, actually, isn't it?
It is. It is an afternoon here in the country. It's quite igang. Do you know what igang is?
No. What's no. igang?
Igang is, you know, the warm weather. It's hot here most of the time. So there.
Igang.
Igang. That's
it is. It is definitely hot.
It's definitely igang.
So something you can use in your everyday conversations here in the country. So Zana, tell us more about what's going to happen for this episode.
In this episode, we will actually talk about how when we actually make a decision or we are embarking on a new career, the best thing to start with is to actually understand yourself. And with Phil today, we will look at how do we actually start that step and then how we will actually make sure that we are on the right path with that journey and how do we actually find that feedback to make sure that we are actually doing what's right. So Phil, first, tell us, how do we start this journey?
Oh, I think, Zana, that's a really good question. I think for me, as I look back over 30 years of experience in terms of working with individuals and organisations, for me, that journey always comes back to this place of self-understanding, that it is very difficult to actually know what your mojo is or what it actually looks like or even feels like if you do not understand yourself. It just makes no sense to me that we can say, I've found my mojo, but I have no idea who I am. And so, you know, for me, this concept of mojo is intricately connected to this sense of when I understand myself, when I know what makes me tick, when I know what energizes me, when I know what my sense of purpose is, what my skills and abilities and all those sorts of things is, when I'm on that journey, I'm very clearly on the journey to actually discovering what my mojo actually is.
So, you know, is this journey you do individually with yourself, you know, like, is it an inward process or is it we involve the community around us when we want to know who we are, really?
Yeah, look, I think it's a case of both and. I mean, yes, it's an inward journey because there's this sense that discovering who I am is about looking inward and looking at what essentially is the core of who I am. Some people might say it's about peering into the soul, but it's certainly an individual journey. I think my perspective on life, and this is in terms of my lived experience as a husband and as a father, as a person in the workplace, but also a person in the community, is that we live life communally. You look at all the ancient cultures, you look at how they viewed the individual, and the individual was always viewed in the context of other people. And so in ancient cultures, Phil would never be making sense of who he is on his own, because Phil can only make sense of who he is in the context of other people. And so I think trying to gain a level of self-understanding locked away in a closet or a room on your own is actually quite dangerous. I think it potentially is dangerous to mental and emotional health, because I just don't think we have the capacity to process all of who we are. We need not simply the feedback of others, but we need the support of others. And so, yes, it's an inward journey, but it's an inward journey that is lived out in the context of other people. In other words, we need the feedback. We need others to be part of that journey to help us discover the essence of who we actually are.
You know, Phil, you know, I'm in my late 40s now. I think it's when I started that inward journey is when I was in my late 20s and early 30s. I'm not sure whether I'm on the right track with my career. And that's the time when I sort of like need to commit myself to a long-term relationship. Then, you know, it's sort of like that finding myself before I actually make those decisions. But at the same time, I can be, you know, like you can either be quite critical of yourself. You know, when you say like, oh, I'm so bad at this, I'm so bad at that. Like you can go into that tangent of being so negative about yourself. But how do we, but you know, like it can be constructive and it can be destructive to yourself when you are going into this journey. How do we actually make sure that we get inspired by this process rather than being destructive?
That's a really complex question, because the thing is, people, we're very complex beings and we all have been raised and we all live in an environment and a context which hugely impacts how we view ourselves. And so, you know, for someone who may have been raised in a family where there's been a high level of criticism, or there has been an environment where there hasn't been a whole lot of encouragement, well, then in some respects, there could be almost a default button that says if I begin this journey on my own, it ends up in a negative self-critical or you know, a very negative judgments around who I am and what makes me tick. I think, you know, the other thing is that I think that there's an element of fear. I mean, after working for over 20 years and certainly in the last decade, spending time accompanying leaders, whether it be business leaders, whether it be people leading not-for-profits, whether it be individuals, there almost is at times a fear of the unknown, a fear of what happens if I go deeper and I discover something I don't like, or what happens if others, people find out some of the things that I'm trying to hide and actually keep secret. There's this concept that talks about our lives being like an iceberg, and 10% of an iceberg is above the water and 90% sits below the water. When I think about our lived experience in our lives, we live in the 10%. That 10% is our life experience and it's what we actually know. It's facts and it's lived experience and it's actually quite tangible. The journey of self-discovery is about actually doing a deep dive under the water into the unknown to discover the 90% that's sitting below the waterline. And, you know, that's a challenging thing. I think there's always a sense of disruption, but there are many people who are just too afraid to actually begin that journey. And, you know, and that's why I would come back to this sense of it's a journey that's done communally. It's a journey that's done with the significant others in your life. It's a journey that's done with a person or people that you trust 100%, where they're never going to, you know, criticize you, judge you, violate you, or even talk about you in the context of the things that you are processing in terms of understanding who I am and what actually makes me tick. And so can it lead into some negative critical territory? Yes, it can. Could a person end up depressed? Could they end up feeling hopeless? Yeah, I think they could do that as well. I think when it's a conversation that is shared between, if it's me on that journey, it could be my wife who's a part of that journey, it could be a mentor that I've invited to go with me on that journey. There's a layer of protection, I think, around the integrity of the conversation, which prevents me from ending up in a dark place, but leads me towards actually being energized and inspired and encouraged by what I'm discovering about who I am.
Just a quick question. I just want to mix it up with, say, the millennials out there. Maybe some of them are in their 20s or 30s. Yep. Say they work in like a call center setting or a BPO setting, something like that. What if at some point they realize, hey, there is an untapped passion of mine that I wanted to maybe work on while doing the actual work that I do? Once you discover these things, how do you go about that? Would you say find time for that passion while still doing the job? Or would you say maybe if it's something that you really want to pursue, then give it more time and then probably shift careers or what have you? How do you balance that out, especially that you're still in the process of discovering you're being an adult, especially that when you're in that phase, the bills don't stop. So how does that go about?
That's a really good question, Nico. I mean, a couple of things I'd like to say is that I'm 61 heading towards 62. And so if I was to look at that question from where I am back to where I was, say, 30 years ago or even, 40 years ago in my 20s, I would wish that I had someone who was older and wiser, who is at the other end of their life, actually say, I'm going to walk this journey with you, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to help you process the questions that you're asking. And this is one of the big challenges I'm finding now, and I'm constantly having this question with whether it be business leaders or people in the workplace or in not-for-profits, is around this sense of where are the mentors? Where are the people that have lived for 20, 30, 40 years who are at maybe a different end of this journey? How are they helping people in their 20s and 30s navigate this? And so I think that's a critical thing. There's an absence of wise sages or wise mentors. I think the other aspect to that question is that for me, this is a lifelong journey, and it's not a race that, that has an endpoint that says, well, if I do this course or if I spend 2 years doing this, all of a sudden there's going to be this sense of revelation that I have my mojo and I know exactly where I'm going to go. I just don't think life is as neat and ordered as that. And so for me, as I look at my own personal development, I look at the what I would call the way I've wandered in life. It's how I'm processing these wanderings that and the integrity of the conversation about what these wanderings mean that lead me towards potentially a decision that needs to be made. For example, if I'd done some work on myself and I discovered that this is how I'm built and this is how my strengths and my abilities get to be expressed, there are questions that are asked out of that, like the one you raised, Nico, around why am I working in this place when the environment in this place is simply not consistent with who I am? Simply put, you could say, well, you better resign and find another job. But the reality is I might be supporting a family, I might be, paying the bills, I have rent, all these sorts of things. And so the conversation then goes deeper around, well, okay, if I'm not in the right fit work-wise, how do I get to a point where I have the capacity or the potential to make those decisions around placing myself in an environment where I do actually fit? And so I say to people, there's this wonderful leadership line that from a leader that I followed where she says, life is messy, don't try and sort it out. I think sometimes we want to avoid the messy or what I might call the chaotic nature of life, and we actually try and make life too neatly structured, organized, sanitized, such that the conversation gets suffocated by the walls we build around ourselves. And so if you're expecting the journey of self-discovery to be this nice, neat, ordered, linear path from low self-discovery to high level of self-understanding and bingo, I've got my mojo, I think that you're on the wrong path. To be able to sit in the messy of this conversation and stay grounded and stay clear around the purpose of the conversation, the purpose of the journey, it's going to prepare you well for where that journey actually takes you. Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably for me, Nick, I'm not sure if I've answered every aspect of that question, but that's where my perspective would sit.
I like how you put it where you said, where are the mentors these days? With social media and everything, it's easy for you to be fooled by a lot of things. There are what? Spoof websites that make you think it's the real thing. They present info as if it's the right thing, but they're just actually, it's just a gag page, something like that. So it's amazing how you put that out there, because yes, we do need a lot of mentors, but the thing is, how do we find them? And how do we know if they're the right mentors for us so that we can get past all the weirdness and the complications of being an adult and then eventually find that mojo to become a better person and hopefully get to the next stage of where we want our lives to be?
Yeah, yeah. Look, 150-200% agree with you. Finding the mentors,
right?
You know, feels a bit like we're searching for a nugget of gold, you know, mm-hmm. you know, in 3 acres of soil. I mean, I think for me, and I call myself a strategic accompanist. And so my mindset is now that I've lived and worked for 30 plus years in terms of leading organizations and mentoring people and individuals that are doing strategy work. This is now my time to accompany others. And so, you know, in a sense, I've let go of the control of my need to be the one up front doing all the leading or being on the platform or whatever, to actually say my purpose now is to come alongside people and simply walk the journey with them. And I think, you know, when you look at what qualifies for a mentor, well, I think a mentor is a person that is prepared, A, to go the journey, to walk alongside of you and not draw attention to themselves, not necessarily be going, well, look, I've read the latest 5 books on what it is to be, what have your mojo, and I'm just going to tell you all of this. And so, you know, they're prepared to actually walk the journey. I think the other thing is they're prepared to suspend judgment. You know, the journey of accompanying someone is that I'm actually here with you walking the journey. I'm not here to judge you. You know, this is not about a right or wrong conversation. This is not about Phil's philosophy on life or where what Phil sees in you and how you're going to get there. This is around Phil suspending judgment long enough to actually genuinely connect and listen to what you're saying. And I think that the third thing about mentors to look for is this concept of questions. You know, I've come to a place in life, if you'd said to me 20, 30 years ago, Phil, what's more important, the questions we ask or the answers we get? I would have said, hands down, it's all about the answers. Just give me the answers. I've completely flipped the other way, and I think life is way more about the integrity of the questions that we ask than the answers that we get. And I'm not saying that answers are not important, because I think they are. But I think it's the questions that we ask of ourselves or the questions others ask of us which end taking us deeper and deeper into a higher level of self-understanding. And so for me, the concept of a good mentor is not someone who simply walks the journey and someone who suspends their judgment of me. They're a sort of person that says, I'm just going to ask you questions, Phil. I'm going to help you explore the questions that you need to ask of yourself so that the answers you get come from within yourself. They're not answers that come from the latest, I'll call them the latest guru, that is actually saying, well, if you live your life like this, 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 and this, well, then you'll have your mojo and you'll have everything. So look, I agree with you, Nico. Finding those people and discovering those people, yeah, it's, for me, it's sad to say, I don't see a lot of them putting their hat in the ring and going, I'm here to walk the journey with people.
Is it possible, Phil, that, you know, like when we say mentor, like there's a saying that you are who you are with, right? Is it possible to have not just one mentor, but you actually build yourself a network of mentors? Well, you know, like you go to this person A for a relationship, you go to this person B for career, and you go to person C for finance. So you've got a network built around you to be different type of mentors in your life.
Yeah, look, I think we all have many mentors that are not necessarily people that we would call mentors. You know, I would look at my parents when they were alive, you know, they were mentors. And, you know, so we have people. We also have people that give advice, financial advice or whatever. I don't think that's mentoring. I think true mentoring is actually people who walk the journey over the long haul. And I think those people are rare. And so I think it would be difficult to have a number of people walking that journey with you, because when you begin on this journey of self-discovery, the glue that holds the journey together is the level of trust that exists between me, if I'm the one being mentored, and the person that is mentoring me. And so for me, if you were to look at the purest sense of mentoring and the purest sense of journeying with someone, I think that's a pretty much a one-on-one type relationship that you've discovered with a person. I mean, I've been mentoring or on this journey with this guy who's a business leader in Melbourne, Australia, for over 13 years. And that journey of accompanying with him has seen some huge issues in his life around the breakdown of his marriage, around finding himself in court, all of these experiences that have the potential to destroy someone's sense of self and to destroy their perspective on the future. And I've continued to walk that journey with that guy, and I'm still walking that journey with that guy. Now, for me, that represents, and again, I'm not saying, well, Phil's just this wonderful mentor, but for me, the concept represents the purity of mentoring, so that in the conversations we've had, he's been on this journey of self-discovery about who he really is, what makes him actually tick. And I would confidently say now that 13 years later, he is finding his mojo, and he does have a level of clarity around who he is, what makes him tick, and what's his place in the world.
That's a lot. That's deep, and that's a lot of things to pack in. Yeah, I think it's also, before I can actually sort of like go back to the start of the conversation, starting the self-discovery, and then how to actually make sure that you are on the right path, being in a community, and also have an inward journey yourself, and then looking around you to find mentors that is willing to go through the whole journey for the long haul with you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So sum it up, we somehow, to actually start the process, we have to be brave about finding ourselves, really, isn't it? We have to actually sort of build that curiosity of what things work for us and what thing doesn't.
Absolutely. And curiosity is, it's almost like the fuel that drives this journey of self-discovery. If you're not curious about who you are, if you're not curious about what lies below the surface of the iceberg, the 90%, then this journey, I think, is either a short-term journey, or it's a journey you start, but it's a journey you let go of. And there's a raft of research now and data around the place of curiosity. And so if curiosity is the fuel that drives this journey of self-discovery, well, then it has some significant impacts on brain health. And so, for example, things like curiosity stimulates the hippocampus part of the brain, and that's the part of the brain that releases all the feel-good hormones. And so they've discovered that curious people feel way better about themselves and life simply because of that particular thing. They've also discovered that curiosity is an antidote to anxiety and depression. And so they're starting to look at how they can treat some mental illness or lifestyle illnesses using, not necessarily using drug therapy, but using this concept of reteaching people how to be curious. And so when you look at this concept of curiosity, it is like jet fuel in the engine. And if you embrace that, and if you develop that attitude, and you keep that level of curiosity, then this concept of self-discovery is not just about myself this year or the next year. It's about, this is the way I want to live. I want to keep discovering. I want to keep finding gold about who I am and what makes me tick and where I fit in the world. And so it is absolutely pivotal to live with this sense of curiosity. Someone once told me a story about these two kids who, it was Christmas time, and their parents gave one kid a room full of toys, every toy money could buy. And for the other kid, they gave them this great big pile of horse manure. And so on Christmas morning, the kids were off looking at their presents. So they went into the room where the kid was, room full of the best toys, every toy a kid could imagine. And the kid was sitting down bawling. He was upset. He was struggling because there was just all this stuff that he had in front of him. They went down to the shed where the big pile of manure was there. And when they went into the shed, they couldn't see the kid anywhere. And all of a sudden, this head pops up out of this big pile of manure and said, "Oh, thanks, Mum and Dad. I know there's a horse in here somewhere. And so, you know, that's this sort of sense around this thing of curiosity is inspires us to keep searching and discovering and looking.
I love the analogy, Phil. That is really good. So, you know, like self-discovery is not linear. Self-discovery probably has a start, but it never ends. It doesn't have an ending, isn't it? You continue to find who you are over the years. And as you grow, you change.
Right.
And, you know, that's when you keep finding a new you, a new version of you.
Yeah. And that will be true of life. I mean, the most resilient people are the people who know who they are. Because they know who they are, they then have the capacity to change and respond to life, because life is not linear, and life actually throws up all sorts of challenges. And so, you know, when I look at my own life and look at some of the significant life events that I've had in my life, all of those events threaten not simply my resilience, but have threatened my sense of self. And so, you know, the resilience I have now and the sense of being grounded in who I am now, I think is born out of the sense that I have intentionally gone on a journey of self-discovery. And so when, you know, events like when both my parents died 7 weeks apart out of the blue, you know, when that happens, you certainly are able to engage and to step into that experience without losing your sense of self and without the impact of those events destroying that sense of self.
All right. So, Phil, that was a wonderful talk. We've gained a lot of insights about self-discovery and everything else in between. Now, Phil, I know those who are listening to this podcast, they may be curious how to reach out to you for consultancy or any other questions, or if they just want to follow you, if you have social media, if they want to pick your brain a little bit, how can they reach you, Phil?
Look, I think I'm not a big social media fan. I just find it takes up too much of the time. So, but, you know, in terms of, I mean, I can certainly, in terms of my email address, they can they can contact me by email. I do have a LinkedIn. They can contact me through LinkedIn. So I can either give that audibly now, or I can give it to Zana and she can put it out, or however you want to do it. So, yeah, and more than happy to speak with people around, you know, what may this journey look like for them?
So there you have it. That was Phil Pioneer. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. Of course, this podcast is brought to you by your friends from BSA Solutions Incorporated. Till the next one. Bye.
Thank you.
This has been Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico, where we help millennials get started in their journey to contented life by building the networks of life and at the same time, benefiting the people around them.